following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
And we're on.
Hey, how are we?
I don't know. I'm okay this evening. How are you?
I'm a little slice of heaven.
Yeah, it's cold outside.
Yeah. So anyway,
Mark, are you there? That's what you get when you miss staff meetings, Mark. We changed the intro on you. It's just me coming in, sounding like I don't know what the heck is going on. Charlie and I had a meeting and we thought that was the best direction the company should go in. So
we call it the impromptu opening.
Why don't you take us in there, Mark?
So I guess welcome to another unique episode.
Way unique.
Or we call it the Charlie and Hassan show, because that's what it's been for a couple.
Yeah,
of
it's me and Charlie.
Yeah,
it's Charlie and I. And
I'm actually searching for a cameo Synergia flying around the moon somewhere. And we have Tom Godwin, and I thought about, you know, in the station. Hi, guys.
And our engineer this evening's name is Trevor.
Yes, Trevor, I know.
Hey, Trevor.
I had to ask him his name just before the show started, because I'm bad with names. So if anyone was watching on the Quico camera, he just stick my head in real quickly. Like, hey, what's your name again? I'm sorry. I just start with your spiel.
Okay, so if anybody's having any trouble listening on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on a live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can actually see the live in-studio webcams. You can actually see Charlie and Hassan and Trevor there, although it's usually Tom. So in case anybody's wondering what happened to Tom, it's somebody else.
Trevor is playing the part of Tom tonight.
The role of Tom will be played by Trevor. And the phone number here is area code 631-888-8811. I got to take a look at the news. Let's see what I got.
You go there, Mark. You get that news.
Alright, in comic news, Dynamite Entertainment announced that the publication of the first crossover comic for pop culture's most famous masked heroes, which is The Lone Ranger and Zorro. The book tells of the death of Zorro and a Lone Ranger avenging said death.
Oh, really? It's a team-up.
Yeah, sort of, I guess.
Are they going to kill the Long Ranger off just so Zorro can have something to do in the story?
Well, Zorro's the one getting killed, so...
Wait, which one gets killed?
Zorro's the one that dies, and Long Ranger is avenging.
I had it backwards. Where's Tonto?
I don't know, maybe he's sitting in the background.
I'm sorry, no follow-ups. Okay, go ahead.
He now has a casino in Long Island.
he's earning 20% right now.
That's right. Selling cigarettes. Yeah. And
the execs say, we are excited to bring two of the greatest heroes in the comics world. Lone Ranger is America's favorite hero of the Wild West and has captured the hearts and imagination of fans for generations. And Zorro is one of the most iconic heroes of all time. Two characters' enduring legacies. The first crossover comic marks a memorable moment comic book history, inspiring fans for years to come.
That's BS. They're killing one off. It's momentous and unprecedented, and also the last time.
They make me love Zorro, and then they kill him. What's that about?
It's the evil works of the man.
Yeah.
Man is diabolical.
Man with the pen. Yes.
So,
it's because he's Mexican. I mean, that's why they kill him off.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's wrong.
I didn't mean to go there.
But if you know your time frames, it's a very interesting concept, because the time frames are very well far apart from one.
Yes, there are, because California isn't even part of the United States during Zorro's run. And it's also nowhere near Texas. So, and I think isn't the Lone Ranger, isn't he a Texas Ranger?
His Ranger's up in Texas.
Right. So that's going to, it's going to involve a little time travel and probably a horse and buggy somewhere along the line to get one of them from halfway across the country.
A major BS.
Yes. Well, that's to be expected.
Shovel, please.
It's a comic book. That goes without saying.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's see. Speaking of comics.
Mr. Segway, speaking of comics.
Director Jon Favreau has announced that he will not be returning to do Iron Man 3. Rumors say that there's been many disputes between the director and Marvel as financial compensation and creative choices.
Of course. It's the same crap that they tried to pull with Sam Raimi. You know, he creates a successful franchise, and then you try to take it away from the director. I'm speculating, though.
Yeah, that's going to hurt because...
yes, it is.
That's going to hurt a lot because a lot of John's humor and a lot of his talent, you can see it in the Iron Man thing.
Maybe he'll still play Hap, though.
Yeah.
I wonder, actually. I think he wants to move himself entirely. He says, Iron Man 3 will most likely be a sequel to Iron Man 2 and also tie in with the storylines involving Thor, Captain America, and Incredible Hulk, and Avengers, and I have no idea what that is. From the conversation I had with those guys, speaking Marvel, I don't think they do either.
They would be stupid to remove Robert Downey Jr. from that that franchise, and removing Favreau is like probably the second dumbest thing that they could do.
Yeah.
So
it's like Robert Downey Jr. now is Iron Man.
Yeah, and it's they're a pack of idiots.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
I've been saying for a while that you know the start of it all was when they got rid of Ed Norton and just gonna go downhill, and it starts little by little.
Starts to fall apart. Yeah, well, because everyone tries to nickel and dime you after you make a deal, and especially after you've made a deal. You can't nickel and dime someone after the deal. That's the whole making a deal part is, you know?
And it's a
sin. Tell that to the Terrence Howard.
it's a sin because the money they will make is because of these stars.
Yeah.
And
they never think so.
Exactly what you're saying.
They always think it's just like television. They always think it's the time slot and never the show that's getting the ratings.
Exactly.
And so it's the same crap with movies. Oh, well, well.
All right.
Oh, well.
I don't have it in me to rage against the machine this evening. I'm fine. If they want to be stupid, let them be stupid. They're the ones going to lose the money.
You heard of Raging Bull? I'm in the studio with Raging Hassan today.
I'm like sleeping Hassan.
Well,
it's cold outside. I don't rage well in the cold. I don't handle the cold very well at all.
It's brisk.
It's not brisk. It's cold outside. It's would know that if you were here.
Brisk isn't the word. Yeah. I saw a penguin with a snorkel on. Yeah. So that's cold.
Yeah, like thermal wear on.
Yes.
And skis.
Yes.
I don't understand what he was doing. And goggles.
Yes.
That's how cold it is out here. This is Long Island, man. There's no buildings. There's nothing. It's just flat, open land. It's just the cold settles on this place like no other place in the world.
Might as well be in the airport.
Well, it's on fire. Yeah. I'd be happier there.
Might be warmer. Bring the marshmallow.
You wouldn't get the pat down, though.
Yeah, well, if it was on fire, I'd say someone screwed up already. So it really doesn't matter.
My advice to them is start drinking.
Exactly.
Although we don't advocate drinking.
No, we don't. It came from the radio.
These opinions of us do not represent the region.
Of people who like to drink a lot. What's the next in the news?
In movie news also, it was announced this week that Cate Blanchett and Orlando Bloom from the Lord of the Rings trilogy are set to reprise their roles in The Hobbit, which starts filming in February. The problem is that those characters aren't in the book.
Well, why would that matter? It's star power, darn it.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to make cameos. They're just going to walk through. Hello. How are you?
According to it, they actually have major roles in the movie.
Okay. Well, Peter Jackson made three amazing movies. So what we're not going to do, or what I'm not going to do, is question his wisdom at this point until I've seen it. Until he totally does something that explodes in his face. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
And let me tell you something about Hobbit fans. They know their stuff. They know their stuff. They'll be the first one to say, what are you nuts?
Yeah. Well, there's probably already people complaining about that.
Yeah.
They're like Star Trek fans. They're dangerous people.
On a side note, actors Ian McKellen, who played Gandalf, and Andy Serkis. As he played Gollum,
right.
Were actually in the original book, have yet to be signed.
Hmm.
So it's going to be very interesting.
Gollum comes back because it's
but years from now. The world can end by the time that movie comes out. So we're on the cusp of it right now. Anyway,
just in happy thoughts.
Oh, what was that?
I said, we're all listening to John Cusack.
Yeah, exactly. We're waiting for his limo to speed by so he can jump on the hood so he can take us to the Russian airplane that's going to fly us to Hawaii or wherever the heck. That movie was so bad, I don't even want to quote it. Just keep going. What's next news?
Let's see.
Get your paperwork together.
This news actually came in, there's a new station out there for you TV fans. It's called the Hub Television Channel.
Wow, does that have anything to do with the telescope?
Yeah, the Hubble.
Actually, not really.
It's all Hubble all day, every day. It's just a camera from another satellite of the Hubble satellite just spinning out of control.
New solar systems you can name yourself if you want.
Yeah, if you believe it.
Yeah.
It's not CGI, it's real.
It's like that show that I was about with the aquarium.
What aquarium?
Did you ever hear about that?
No. There was an aquarium show?
It was one of those small little local television stations, and instead of playing reruns of whatever shows they had, the guy put a camera, and he put it on an aquarium, and it actually got higher ratings for a rerun.
See, you know what I would have did with that? I would have kept my TV on and put fish food on top of it. Just so people think it's a real thing.
Oh, this is real. There's a NASA channel where 90% of the time, if not 99.9% of the time, it's just the satellite floating around the planet.
Is it them counting down to nothing?
No, there's no countdown. It's just pictures of the Earth from orbit.
Oh.
It's just a slow rotation around the Earth from orbit, and it'll last like that. It'll go on for maybe an hour or an hour and 20 minutes or something, and then some technician will come in, oh, okay, what you're seeing now is this is New Zealand. We're floating over the Red Sea here. That's what that is. Okay. And that's the whole thing, and then the guy mumbles something, and he says something scientific. Like, you know, he spouts out a longitude and a latitude, and then he just vanishes, and then you just... And there's not even a soundtrack. It's just the world spinning. It's the most boring thing you've ever heard of when you hear about it. But I will tell you that when you actually stumble onto it on your cable channel, and I don't remember what channel it is, you do find that you could lose about 10, 15 to maybe, if you're me, an hour staring at the Earth rolling around before you even know it. And that has happened.
Yeah.
So it's kind of addictive. So I understand why people would watch an aquarium, watch fish just float back and forth.
My favorite station was a stationary bike station. It was on Saturday mornings, and you would put your stationary bike in front of the TV, and they would have a scene of riding, right? So it was like you were riding on this road, but the best was they had bikes passing you, and then the people turn around and wave to you. So, you know, of course I waved back, and that was while I was sitting down watching that, eating my bacon and egg sandwich.
See, those are grand experiments of the people. Those are tricks that the inside people are playing on the outside people. That's what's happening. It's like, let's see how many schmucks we can get to watch this channel.
Well, like I said, I watched it with my feet up, eating my egg and bacon sandwich, waving to the people passing.
Yeah, I'm getting my exercise.
I just like the road. It was nice roads. They had different scenery. So.
When people call you up, Charlie, you're going now. I'm exercising right now.
Yes,
I'm riding
am.
My bike.
I'm riding. Oh, it's uphill. It's dangerous. Let me take another bite of this sandwich. Yeah.
Well,
don't eat and drive.
Well, don't drink and drive. You still drink.
Yeah. Exactly. Unless you have a cup holder, then you're all right.
Then you're okay, yeah.
I have two cup holders.
Well, this channel, the Hub TV, is created by the Discovery Kids and Hasbro. They merged together, and what they're doing is they're showing all Hasbro properties, old stuff such as, you know, Transformers and G.I. Joe and whatnot, and new stuff such as Transformers and G.I. Joe and whatnot.
What? They're just showing the TV shows?
The they're showing the original shows from the 80s.
Oh, okay.
And now they're making new shows of Transformers and G.I. Joe. Transformers is an amalgam of everything that came before, so it's like the movie and a cartoon all kind of mixed together.
Right. Whatever.
It's decent, actually. It was actually way better than the movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, it has to be. Who can look better than that movie?
And it has the two major elites, the two voices, Prime and Megatron, who did the voices from the old series. That was kind of cool.
Oh, so they have Frank Welker? They actually remember his phone number for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's the Hub channel. What channel is that?
It's check your local listings. It's different wherever you're at.
Oh, okay.
Hub TV, though.
Is it on Cablevision? Because I wouldn't get it if it's not on Cablevision.
I think it would. Well, from what I understand, it took over whatever channel was a Cartoon Network in the New York area. I think that was Channel 23 in the New York area.
The Cartoon Network?
Wait, the Cartoon Network is gone?
No, they moved the Cartoon Network to some other place, but that was the spot where it was at. So they do that, and they also have a new G.I. Joe cartoon, which is another amalgam of the movie.
Blah, blah, blah. Oh, wait, they mixed that movie with the original cartoon?
Yeah. And actually, I have to say, they did something in the first episode that was unique and different.
No, they didn't.
But they made the Long Ranger and Zorro come out.
Yeah, they joined G.I. Joe. Joined G.I. Joe. That's excellent. Along with Wyatt Earp and
and Jesse James and
the Nameless Stranger.
Yeah.
Well, I would suggest if you were a fan of Transformers in any shape or form or G.I. Joe, you at least see the first episode, and you'll be surprised what they came up with.
Well, I already missed the first episode because the show's
on YouTube.
Yeah. YouTube.
Started on in October, and I actually stumbled upon it and I saw it on YouTube.
Okay. Well done.
Also, all the Hasbro properties, such as the game that they have, a TV show called Family Game Night, which they're playing the games such as Starry and all the other games that they made.
Wow.
As a live action game.
That doesn't sound interesting at all.
They should do Chutes and Ladders, though, like some parents are flying down a chute at top speed, and then they have to climb a ladder and give them oxygen.
That's like
I would watch that.
You remember Funhouse like Funhouse?
Yeah. Not for the guy climbing the ladder.
Oh, that wasn't Funhouse.
They should do Chutes and Ladders in the old folks' home. How many of these people will need oxygen by the end of this first game? Yeah.
I tell you, I'm not an old folks. I need oxygen.
I gotta go up this ladder one more time. I'm gonna pass out.
All right, son. I'm on the third prong, and it's already been a month.
Yeah,
since
I'm already
climbing.
Dizzy. Yeah. I'm three steps up, and I'm already woozy. Get me off this thing. Sorry, Mark.
Speaking of bringing back old stuff and making it new again.
Bringing back old stuff and making it new again.
Okay.
There is a new Fast and the Furious sequel that has been greenlit.
Yes.
And joining Vin Diesel and Paul Walker will be Dwayne The Rock Johnson. The movie will be called Fast Five.
Terrible name.
That'd be, hip. It picks up right where the Part 4 left off, which is actually a prequel to Part 3.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so it was 1, 2, 4, 5, and 3. Unless, 6 happens to happen before 3 also.
Well, so this fifth one comes before the fourth one?
Yeah, no, it picks up right after the fourth one.
But not after the third one. No, I just figured I'd throw that into totally confusion. Because I'm totally confused, okay.
So it was 1, 2, then 3 came out. But then when 4 came out, it happened before part 3. And now 5 happens right after part 4. Which leaves it,
Wow.
Yeah.
And there'll be a test.
When does part 3 take place then?
As of right now.
Tokyo, man. When's Tokyo Drift, huh?
After 5. Right now it's after 5.
Can't be, man. Those cars be out of date by then.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen in number 6, so.
6?
Well, if 5 does well, they're going to make a 6.
That's presumptuous.
Yeah, 6 is before 2.
That would be so awesome.
No, no, it wouldn't. I think I'd throw my shoe at the at the screen.
Yeah, it's like, anyway, carry on.
Yes, and we have, let's see, I have some sad news.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Well, this is actually not, well, I'll just tell you. Diamond Comics Distribution has informed comic stores that their West Coast warehouse will be closed starting in March. When they were at their peak, Diamond Comics Distributors had 24 warehouses. With this one closing, it will only leave 4 warehouses left.
Only 4?
The only 4 Diamond warehouses.
Oh, the Diamond Empire has ended.
Yeah, so, you know, I follow people who just lost their jobs right before Christmas.
You know, it is sad. It is sad people lose their jobs. It's not good. It's not, especially around Christmas, that really stinks. I don't celebrate that. But Diamond has been such a monopoly. Has had such a monopoly on the comic book industry and has held so many independent comic book publishers or would-be publishers for hostage, and has just completely co-opted the gateway to getting into the industry so that you can actually get your wares out, that I don't feel bad for them losing a lot of their prestige and losing a lot of their hold over the industry. I think it's the best thing for the industry at the moment, whatever industry is left. I feel bad for anybody who was working for them, because they are just workers. You know, they're just building the Death Star. They're not actually the evil empire, and they didn't deserve to get to get capped off like that just before the holiday season. I think that's terrible, but I think Diamond, for what they did to this industry, they got it coming. It's my personal feeling on that. It does not reflect the feeling of anybody here. It came from the radio.
Well, I agree with you.
Except for Charlie. Okay, me and Charlie are on the same page.
Yes. And possibly Neil.
Oh, maybe. And maybe Mark. But maybe not.
Yeah, maybe.
It's very possible, but it is possible maybe not either. It depends on the political winds at the moment.
Yeah, which is pretty cold.
Yeah.
Just ask the Penguin.
Yeah. If anybody wants to put us in the industry, or if Diamond wants to give us a job, then we're not for what I just said. But
exactly.
If they're not,
now, the head of Diamond is like, oh, I was going to hire those guys. No, they get nothing.
All right, so anything else?
Yeah.
In the news?
From the I Didn't Know Was Still Being Published category, fans of the comic strip Brenda Starr will be saddened to know that the strip will end its run on January 2nd, 2011.
Now, will this end like the little Orphan Annie thing?
Oh, it's going to be a cliffhanger. Is she going to meet the Butcher, too?
She meets the Butcher and finds little Orphan Annie, and then you don't see both of them.
It's like the end of Electro Girl and Dino Woman or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like it just ends. They get jumped by some really bad special effect, and the show just ends forever.
Yeah. Then,
Deirdre
goes on to the soap operas after that. Yeah.
Well, she's a reporter, so maybe she was investigating Annie's disappearance, and then, she's gone.
That's exactly how I would end it, honestly. I would totally do it like that.
I didn't hear that.
She's a reporter, and Brenda Starr is a reporter, so she should be investigating the disappearance of Little Orphan Annie, and then she should disappear, and then that should be it. And it should be a finger to everybody else who's ever read that book, just like the Little Orphan Annie ended.
Yeah.
Although, too bad.
That's what I just said.
Our publication is over. We've been canceled. So
yeah, she finds the Butcher and Little Orphan Annie. Nobody hears from all.
And the door is closed quietly behind her, and that's it.
Yeah, it just fades to black, like The Sopranos.
And Dr. Doom rises from the floor and says, I have no idea why I'm here.
Okay, guys, so long.
you two guys know it was still being published?
No, I had no clue that it was even still in publication. I know the television show they tried to run on it was a horrible disaster.
Oh, my God. Was that with Brooke Shields?
No, there was a movie, I think, Brenda Starr with Brooke Shields, which either came out and was terrible or never even made it out.
It did make it out.
I know that was terrible. I think they tried to make it into a television show. I do not quote me, but I think it had equal success. It was success on par with the movie, which was none.
The only thing that I remember Brenda Starr was the Daily News. In the time of the Daily News greatness in comics, they had Terry and the Pirates, Little Orphan Annie, Brenda Starr, and then, you know, they started getting rid of these comics, Dick Tracy. Yeah. Dick Tracy, front page, always. And then they changed it.
Actually remember that. And then the Family Circus.
Right, and then they changed Dick Tracy to another page, and the comics just went downhill from there.
Much like our standards of living.
Yes.
wow, way to throw that one in there. According to this, there was a 1956 serial with Brenda Starr. There was the 1976 movie. There was the 1989 movie. And there was a pilot in 1972 and in 2006. All Brenda Starr stuff.
Oh, okay.
2006? How did I miss that one?
Because it wasn't good.
Yeah, because I was doing something
you
like...
You missed it by that much.
I was doing something like Living Life. Yeah
probably.
Okay. Probably
somewhere doing a book signing.
Yes.
At some bar signing someone's book. I had nothing to do with you.
Yes.
any other piece of news?
Yes, the final piece of news I have here.
Okay, because we're going to take a break in a minute.
The TV show Jeopardy will pit past winners Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter against quote-unquote Watson, a computer program developed by IBM's artificial intelligence team during February week to see if a machine can truly outthink man.
The answer is yes.
Dumb.
Yeah. Any man who would build a machine smarter than him is dumb in the first place, and therefore that answers the question before we even ask it. I dominate the earth. I'm going to build something more intelligent and more powerful than myself that can calculate 10 times faster. And then I'm going to put it in charge of vacuuming my floor. And things are going to stay that way because that's how I envisioned it. They're never going to rise up against us because that just never happens.
Yes, and I've never watched Colossus the Forbin Project.
Exactly. Or Terminator or The Matrix or, you know, just about every other television show or movie with intelligent robots in it.
There you go.
Let me see. Ken Jennings is the longest winning game show of Jeopardy. He won 74 games in a row. And the other guy, Brad Rutter, was more money than any person, winning $3.3 million. So, you know, it's going to be tough. And they said they already tested the machine out, Watson, to see how it does. And they're keeping their results a secret until they actually go up against the two guys in February.
That sounds so exciting. Yeah.
What is a stupid idea?
It's pitting yourself against a robot on television.
Yeah.
So you're going to see what the robot rise up and start killing
What happened? Robots are too devious, man. It's not going to happen on television right there. Because you know what they do? They pull the plug on him. They're going to wait till he amuses everybody. And he'll dance around like a minstrel for a couple of decades. And they'll say, oh, this is great. Let's build a million more of these, and that's when he'll start to reveal himself as slightly sinister.
That during the show, we won't have experiencing technical difficulties.
No, there's not going to be any dark moments or any kind of awkwardness or any red flags going up at all. It's going to be completely benign.
It'll be like iRobot Jeopardy.
Yeah. I'm here to help you. I'm here to do your bidding, and then, you know.
I'm here to win your prizes.
So I think it's a bad idea, and I don't think I'm going to watch. They're not going to get my ratings.
Well, I'm just going to just find out what happens. I'm not going to watch.
You're not going to watch. You don't watch television anyway. You're like backlogged.
Yeah, I'm going
to. Just getting the last episode of the Brady Bunch right now on your videotape collection.
You join a band? What?
The Partridge Family is off the air. What is this?
The Doobie Brothers broke up, man. Are we going to take a break? Want to take a break?
Yes,
let's
take
a break.
We are ready for our break.
All right, we're breaking.
Right back. Came from the radio.
Stand by for action. We are about to launch Stingray.
Stingray!
anything can happen in the next half hour.
Hello, how are you? We're back. Are we all back?
That was hot.
It was hot. It was so hot, I didn't even realize we were back.
Stingray is a much quicker song than I give it credit for. I was getting ready for like a good 5 minute, you know.
Yeah.
Like I was going to lean back. I was going to put my hand behind my head, some stuff like that.
I was outside talking to the penguin.
He's
really cold.
He's like, darn it, man, it's cold out here.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that was hot.
So yeah, we have technical issues tonight, so that's why.
It's
no fault of Trevor's. it's just getting all the ducks in a row, and then, you know, it's like herding ducks is a lot like herding cats, as I've discovered.
So, anyway, what's the topic of the week, Mark?
So we are back, and with Camp Radio, this is my first speaking role, so I've got one, and Dolly Valdino. In the spirit of the holidays, this week we're going to be talking about Christmas movies that have nothing to do with Christmas.
What?
Christmas movies.
How do we know they're Christmas movies?
Pretty much most of the movies that are out there.
For example... Lethal Weapon was a Christmas movie.
They found the weapon under the Christmas tree. That's what it was.
Christmas was involved. It just wasn't really about the Christmas spirit, we could say. It had nothing to do with that. Less gunfights are about the Christmas spirit.
During the holiday time period.
Yeah, that's true.
People out there who don't know what to see during this time, you know, we were thinking about helping you guys out with different movies that you can talk about. Because Lethal Weapon would be one that was non-Christmassy, but a movie definitely set during Christmas.
All right. Well, I'm trying to think. There was actually that year, it was like in 1987, there were a number of movies that were out that were Christmas, like action movies that were Christmas oriented. Die Hard was one of them, but that wasn't the same. I think that was 89. The Die Hard came out, and Die Hard was definitely about the Christmas season, and the sequel was definitely about the Christmas season.
It was a year later, right?
It was supposed to take place a year later, but it was the movie itself was several years later. But yeah, you're right.
Yes. So what other movies can you guys think of, or that you watch during the holiday times that not necessarily has to do with the holiday time?
Should have given us some information prior so we could have done some homework.
Well, a good one I can also tell you out.
Yeah, thanks for the email.
Yeah. Thanks for the heads up there, brother.
Thank you a lot.
Way to go.
Another one I can throw out there is Gremlins. Gremlins was definitely...
It was a Christmas movie, though. See, this is the trick is that it depends on what constitutes a Christmas movie. Because if you're counting movies out that have Santa Claus in them, you know, Santa Claus and sleighs and stuff like that, then no, there's only like three or four actual Christmas movies, you know, or maybe 10 in total Christmas movies going all the way back to Miracle on 34th Street. It's if you're talking about movies with a Christmas theme, then there's hundreds.
Well, I'm kind of thinking of lines that, you know, if everybody's tired of seeing, you know, Miracle on 34th Street, A Christmas Story, A Christmas Carol, what other movies and television shows that are out there at this time of year would be good for the non-Christmas type people?
That's a Hanukkah Christmas, Charlie Brown. How about that? There's
it's a Hanukkah Christmas.
I don't know.
Let me see. Rocky IV, another one.
That takes place during Christmas?
Yeah, so you remember
I don't remember Rocky IV.
Rocky had all that money, and they had the talking robot.
Yeah. No.
Really?
No, I don't remember that.
Anything?
Oh, no, no. I remember it. I just don't like the subject. No, I'm kidding you. I remember it, and yeah, it went back to Christmas. But, like, you know, movies, Christmas movies, they're either about Christmas or released at Christmas time because, like Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day is a big movie day.
That's true, although this past year wasn't a big movie release at all. You know, although the Rapunzel Tangled did do well in the theaters, it was far below any expectations that they were hoping for.
Well, okay, is this about movies that come out during Christmas time or about movies with a Christmas theme in it that are not necessarily about Christmas?
That's what I'm trying to figure out because I didn't get the email.
We can throw out, you know, Jingle All the Way because that was definitely a Christmas movie.
Well, yeah, but we'll try this. What do you consider a Christmas movie? An actual, genuine Christmas movie as opposed to a movie that has just a Christmas theme in it?
Well, I would say Jingle All the Way is a Christmas movie.
Why?
Because it was about the Santa Claus and about getting the gifts. It was about stuff that happens during Christmas. Movies such as like Die Hard or Lethal Weapon was about movies that were just set, happened to be during that time period.
Okay, but
the holiday time.
Well, yeah, but if they mention Christmas and if he's trying to get home to his family for Christmas time, isn't it technically a Christmas movie?
That's actually a good question. I would say probably.
Because, I mean, Lethal Weapon was technically about Christmas because it was about, like, you know, having no one at the Christmas, during the Christmas time and being, what's his name? Riggs?
Bill Gibson
was obviously depressed because he just, I guess, moved into a Jewish neighborhood or something like that, and he wanted to kill himself.
No!
And he was, you know, he had no one for the holiday season because his wife had just recently died, according to the dialogue in the first one. And then at the end of the movie, he finds a new family who kind of takes him in, and then that's kind of the running theme for the rest of the series. So it could be construed as a Christmas movie. You could say it's a Christmas movie.
All right. So what else would you think of that would be in that long line?
Serendipity.
Yeah,
that would be a sort
of... It ends with a wedding, but it does start with the Christmas Christmas theme in it and
their
Christmas shopping. So yeah, you could call it that.
It ends with Christmas shopping too. Whatever it is, shopping.
Oh, wow.
Castaway. Castaway was also a...
It started with Christmas time, but I mean, it totally ended with a half-naked Tom Hanks
Cruise?
The half-naked Tom Hanks on an island. So he missed a couple of Christmases, and by the time he came back, it wasn't Christmas time. So it starts off with a Christmas theme, but it's not really a Christmas movie. You can't call it either one. It just has Christmas in it.
It's not like one of the best Christmas movies ever, Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
That was the greatest Christmas, other than Miracle on 34th Street, or The Bells of St. Mary, or Back to the Classics, for our time.
Really?
One of the greatest Christmas movies was Christmas Vacation.
I put that in the category, but I also think Christmas Story was
a fantabulous
comedy movie.
Yeah.
But yes, I actually bought Christmas Vacation from 7-Eleven 5 or 6 years ago. I was in there to get something. I think I was in
there
to get
like
a Slim Jim or something. And I saw Christmas Vacation on the shelf and I bought it.
I
for $7.
Just for the squirrel coming out of that tree and so many other things. You know, so.
Well, the speech he makes at the end.
Yeah.
Because they burned his tree down and he found out he wasn't getting a Christmas bonus. So the pool he had paid for was forfeit, whatever, and he lost his mind. And he makes his long, vulgar speech that can't be repeated here.
Yeah.
And it ends with "Where's the Tylenol?" And it's a fantastic, fantastic movie. It's the best out of all those vacation movies, in my opinion, maybe with the exception of the first one, which is which is funny in and of itself. That's not the subject we were talking about, I understand, but I just had to had to pay some respect to Christmas Vacation. That's a definite Christmas movie. There is absolutely no way to get around the fact
that it has the word Christmas in it.
Yeah.
It would be a terrible movie if you called it Christmas something and not have Christmas in it.
That's true. But I you're going to have to give me some more examples, because I, off the top of my head, cannot possibly think of another movie that had Christmas in it but wasn't a Christmas movie.
I would go with RoboCop.
RoboCop happens during Christmas, but it's not the whole Christmas season. It actually takes place over a series of over a couple of years. So. Yeah. You can't really...
Well, here you go. Here's a movie for you, which is a definite Christmas movie, but it just, you know, it comes out Christmas time. It's a definite Christmas movie, but it's not really about just Christmas. It's called Holiday Inn with Bing Crosby and Fred Astaire. Always comes out at Christmas time, but it's about this inn that Bing Crosby opens that caters to holidays.
Really?
And it just so happens that it stops at Christmas, which is, you know, the last holiday.
Right, the last holiday.
But it'll
of the year.
Always come out on at Christmas time.
Really? Okay. Well, that's a Christmas.
It's definitely a Christmas movie.
Right. All right. So that one doesn't really count.
I just figured I'd say it because I didn't get the email.
Yeah, me neither. That's why I'm swinging in the dark right now.
That's it.
Does the Holiday Inn qualify as a Christmas movie or as a non-Christmas movie?
Well, you know what? The problem is your definition of what is and what isn't is so vague that I couldn't answer that question.
Opinion. What do you...
It's a Christmas movie. It's a holiday movie. It's called Holiday Inn. It stops on the granddaddy of all holidays, which is technically Christmas, you know? And it would be a Christmas movie. It's about the holidays, and it comes out during Christmas time. Now, there's a Christmas movie that has nothing to do with the holidays, which is the Ten Commandments, that comes out every Christmas. So the Wizard of Oz comes out every Christmas
so
and has no Christmas in it.
On Easter and the holidays, King of Kings.
Yeah, you know, that's got nothing to do with presents and trees and snow and reindeer. Mm. So, okay, so, I mean, you could talk about movies that just seem to happen to come out every Christmas time. But I don't understand. I'm confused.
Let's throw out another one. Batman Returns was another non-Christmas movie.
Yes, there's definite Christmas stuff in Batman Returns. I guess I would not call that a Christmas movie. It just is a movie that happens to take place during Christmas time.
It's a very violent, non-kid-friendly.
You know, a lot of the studios plan on a Christmas release. So what they'll do is they'll throw a little motif in there about Christmas.
Yeah.
And that's the only deal that these movies have to do with Christmas. They're being released. It's very calculated. They're being released at Christmas time. And so let's throw something in there that says a little bit about Christmas.
Well, like,
that's about it.
Silent Night, Deadly Night. Those are
that's just a happy Christmas movie.
I remember that they were protesting that.
Yeah,
movie.
They were very angry that Santa, the visual of Santa was co-opted for horror purposes. Yes. Yeah. Also, Jack Frost, which is actually two movies. It's a movie with Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
The dad who died came back to life as a snowman for his kid. But there's also a Jack Frost horror
evil
movie.
One.
Yeah.
Which is hysterical, by the way.
Yeah, and he's a murderer, and he kills people with his nose, with
it's
his
a,
parrot
it's
nose.
A carrot, yeah. It's a...
he's running around stabbing people with his
nose.
It's
fantastic, yet not good at all.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a car wreck. You got to stop and watch
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
It's like he liquefies, and then he gets into places by liquefying.
Right, and
then he solidifies,
yeah,
and he goes...
He's like the Terminator. He oozes under doors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's not really a Christmas movie.
It's just about winter.
Yeah,
he's a snowman though, right?
A killer snowman. Yes,
Jack Frost.
Hold on, Ryan.
As we're looking at snowmen over there in the studio. Yeah, but
that's someone starting to ring a bell. That he went underneath the doorway, right?
Yeah. It was one of those shameless cable movies that I used to watch over and over and over again. And it, I do believe he, yes, he did turn into liquid and ooze under the door.
And it wasn't something like power wires came down. I don't even remember how
he was just. I forget how. I think it was like the spirit of some mass murderer had accidentally got put into a snowman.
Yeah.
And he just decided to continue his work after he'd become a snowman.
The best snowman, such
a receptacle for lost spirit.
The best part of that movie was when the girl goes to take a bath, and he liquefies into the bathtub, and then he solidifies with the girl as part of him.
Yes, inside.
And then he proceeds to. It's ridiculous.
Good stuff.
It's like the stuff you got to watch. It's like you just stop on the channel change and you go, what the hell is this? You know, and for all the independent filmmakers that can't get their movies picked up, for watching that, it's like for a musician.
Wait a minute, how come I'm poor?
And it's like for a musician who writes great stuff, great lyrics, and hears this thing called boom, 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 let's go back to your room on the radio.
Yeah, or Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. Yeah.
There's so many of them you could throw out there. It's ridiculous.
So yeah, that's not okay. That's got a Christmas theme to it, but it's not a Christmas movie. Is it Silent Night, Deadly Night, Jack Frost?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some others where it's.
What
just,
about The Nightmare Before Christmas? That was a cutie.
Yeah, but that's a Christmas movie.
That is a Christmas movie.
It's a now Christmas movie.
But it's sort of science fiction Christmas movie. That's what I'm going on. Trying to keep it in the motif.
It's sort of gothic horror Christmas. Yeah. Edward Scissorhands, speaking of that, that took place during Christmas and really had nothing to do with Christmas in and of itself. How about that, Mark?
That's a really good one.
Yeah, thank you. I try. That's all I have for the evening. I'm done. I'm spent.
It was a good one for not getting the email.
Charlie's upset about that email.
Let me ask you something, Charlie. You actually said that, you know, that the studios plan this type of thing for the year. And since we're almost around Christmas time, there really isn't a Christmas movie that's coming out this year.
Yeah.
If you noticed that. What do you think about that?
Well, I would like to see a Christmas motif movie come out in the summertime.
They did that with,
just for the hell of it.
That Ben Affleck movie.
Oh, Reindeer Games.
No, not that one.
That was a Christmas movie.
It had the word reindeer in it, yeah. There was a, maybe it wasn't, I think it was a Ben Affleck movie. It came out like, August. It was a Christmas movie, and they're like, oh, we're going to have it in August. It'll be wacky and funny, and it did terrible. It's either,
don't you have the internet? Aren't you home? Couldn't you tell us what it was?
We have no computers here, Mark.
Yeah, we're looking at a...
We're looking at a Formica table. It's fake wood on it.
It was Gandolfini.
Oh, Home for the Holidays. But
yes.
that's a Christmas movie. That doesn't qualify.
No, but he was saying about he would love to see a movie that was...
Like it was in August or something.
Oh, poof. Really? Was that what we were struggling for all
that's
the time?
That's what I was struggling for, yes.
All right, War of the Worlds also took place during Christmas with Tom Cruise.
I was trying to help...
Yes, you were helping Charlie.
That's, thank you, I appreciate that.
Charlie would have been better helped if he had gotten an email.
Anyway. You carry on, I'm checking on the penguin now.
You mentioned War of the Roses, that was also a...
War of the Worlds.
Oh, War of the Worlds.
Mm-hmm, took place during Christmas. War of the Roses, actually, but that spanned like a 20-year period. So it had a Christmas theme in it, but it wasn't a Christmas movie. It wasn't a Christmassy. It wasn't a Christmas season movie. You can't call it that.
A Christmas theme in it.
Yeah, it had a Christmassy moment. It had a tree in it. You can't really call that.
It just had a tree in it or a moment.
Well, if there's a tree in it, there's a Christmas moment.
Oh, okay.
I don't understand. I'm confused.
Well, how about How about level 2 or level 3? There was a movie out where this girl was getting out of her office for Christmas time.
Oh, it's like the parking level or something like that. It's one of those horror movies.
Yeah. and gets kidnapped by the security guy.
Yeah, the lunatic security guy.
Who wants to spend Christmas
Wes
with
Bentley,
her.
Who is who was a big star for a little while.
Yeah.
He was in Four Feathers and a couple other movies. And then apparently he got caught up in the national pastime of actors and actresses, which was drugs and alcohol, from what I understand. I'm not accusing him of anything. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And now he was in, like, movies about stalking women in parking levels.
Yeah, it was
pretty bad.
PL2 or PL...
Yeah, parking level 94 or some ridiculousness.
I don't even think it made the movies or something. It went to DVD.
It did make it to the theater. It was called P2, starring Rachel Nichols, who plays Scarlett in the Jagger movie. Mm-hmm. I only know this because I'm a big fan of hers.
Okay.
But yeah. that was a total movie that had to deal with getting home for Christmas and not making it well.
Yeah, not having it go your way.
Yeah, and the psycho was... Psycho was obsessed with having this girl spend Christmas with him.
Yeah, or some ridiculousness.
While he was working, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a great movie, but it did take place during Christmas. Yeah. So that's
why I threw it out there.
Yeah, well done.
Black Christmas was from the horror movie where they were killing people. Already.
Oh, really? Was it? Oh, I think I saw that movie. Yeah, that was terrible. Okay, that's kind of Christmassy. I guess it's a Christmas. It happened during there was a tree. There was a tree in it.
There was a tree, and I was the person was stabbing somebody.
So wait, so your idea is that people are supposed to watch these movies as opposed to Christmas movies on Christmas Day, right? That's what we're trying to help them do.
That's the idea that we're trying to help out our listeners.
Why do we care what they watch? If they don't want to watch Christmas movies, they should watch something else. That's
we're
what I think.
It's America, damn it.
What was
providing
that?
Providing a service.
You're providing a service? I don't want to service the people. I hate the people. I hate the people and I hate Christmas.
There you go.
Hey, The Raven is about Christmas. The Raven takes place as the poem, and they've made a movie. They've made a couple movies about it. It's someone knocking at my chamber door. You know, suddenly I heard a tapping as if someone gently rapping. That's about a guy being alone on Christmas and losing his mind because either his girlfriend Lenore broke up with him or she died.
It's always Lenore. Okay, yeah. If it's Poe, it's always Lenore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, either she broke up with him or she died, and he loses his mind and starts talking to birds. But that does take place.
Well, they're coming to visit him, so why don't they talk?
Takes place during Christmas. Because it was in the bleak December. So it's around the Christmas time.
Yes.
So there you go.
Of us who was in retail know that the bleak December is.
Yeah, it's pretty darn bleak. So there's another one for you, Mark. Don't say we're not trying to help with this strange agenda.
I think we're doing damn good with this.
Yeah, we're helping out Mrs. Henderson, our paper listener. Watch movies on...
Was this like a question of the week? Someone asked you how many Christmas movies are not Christmas?
Yes, it is. The answer is.
Yeah, the answer is.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Yes. That's the answer. What is the answer? Yes,
because you don't want people to
think... I do not like Christmas in a can. I do not like them.
You don't want people to think you came up with this on your own.
Yeah, it's just someone else. Someone else came up with that one.
Wasn't Adventures in Babysitting also a Christmas movie?
Yes. It did take place during the Christmas season. But technically
it had Thor in it.
Huh? No, it did not have Thor in it. Thor was not in it. It was a guy that the chick thought was Thor. That's not... Move on. Write down Adventures in Babysitting. You got that. That's a victory. You can move on from there. Oh, all
right.
So. I was trying to throw the Labyrinth in there, but it had nothing to do with Christmas. the baby was back by Christmas. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nothing. I'm just grabbing that straw.
No, that was only a Christmas theme.
We got about a minute, guys.
Yeah.
That was bad.
There's only a Christmas theme in it, but it's Raising Arizona, technically a Christmas-y sort of movie. But we need some last thoughts from you, Mark, as if we were brave enough to ask for this wonderful weekly topic.
All you people out there, you know, who don't want to watch Christmas movies, we hope that we provided a service, and you can listen to it, you can watch these movies at your leisure throughout the holiday time. How about that for final
thought? That's a good final thought.
Well, I will be tonight after the show at Coyle's Tavern on 1 Central Avenue, Massapequa, doing book signings and a beer tasting.
And my last thought is that you should consult your fellow radio show hosts about ideas that you're going to come up with prior to the actual show so that we can have time to do some research and we can have a serious discussion about these things.
But it just showed us how, showed the people how brilliant we are.
We are.
With all this stuff.
We are quite brilliant.
Yes, we are.
I think everybody did a fine thing of that.
You didn't see me taking Tums during the thing, but people on the webcam saw that.
All right, well, take us out, Mark.
Well, if it helps, next week we'll be doing Tron.
Oh, yippee. Yeah. Take us out.
So that goes for this week on It Came From the Radio. Join us next week and every week right here on WGBB. If you missed any part of the show, you can go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com. You can listen to our archives. This one will be up in a week just before Christmas, so happy holidays, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, good night.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.